Welcome to the OTV podcast, episode 15. The host with the most disguised toast is not here right now. So I'm currently his replacement. Last week's replacement was Pokey. So now we have a great guest, Peter, otherwise known as Double Lift. He's famous for being, oh God, a record holder in LCS. How many case has a subreddit? Like, he's very accomplished.
Stop, man. I can only get so red.
So how did we scam you to come on here?
I don't know. Lena just told me that I have a podcast scheduled with Skara, and I said, yeah, fuck it, let's go.
That's right. She works for us. You got scammed to be
inside
here.
Inside job, dude.
Oh, before we started this, we were just talking about business decisions of other streamers.
How do you jar a fart of yours and put a hair in? You know? How is that possible?
You gotta.
Yeah, I farted in a jar, but now how do I put a hair in there without releasing?
Okay.
The hair first, then you fart in the jar.
She's just got hundreds of jars with her hair in it, and then boom.
I see. Dude, I don't know.
I'm just saying, would you do it for $1,000 a jar?
I mean, of course. Who's not?
Peter's farts are so bad.
I know. I would literally fucking knock somebody out sometimes. Depends on what I've eaten, but. No, it's honestly, it feels dirty. Like, even though I get $1,000, I would just feel so disgusted with myself. Did I just fart in a jar?
Would you feel worse for yourself or the person buying it?
I mean, I would just feel dirty because, I'm kind of playing into someone's, disgusting fantasy, which who the fuck would want to.
What if your fantasy was selling it to him? Your fantasy is money.
I mean, my fantasy is money, but
there we go, baby.
There's certain boundaries that I wouldn't cross.
Two fantasies in one.
It's another level is you shave your balls into a jar. And would you sell it to someone for $1,000? It's like, oh my God, it's so easy money. But it's then somebody has your pubes.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
So add a couple zeros on that.
Oh, okay. I mean, everything has a price. That's true.
Agreed. Now we're back. Brandon's off the camera.
Talk to me.
How rich are you?
I'm not that rich, dude. I'm
not that rich too. But I think that's only relative to my peers, okay? So a lot of my peers are seven-figure people. Does that make sense?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, seven figures, this is sounding like really, really 1%er right now. I was a millionaire when I was 22.
I think. How old are you right now?
I'm 20... How old am I? 28, I think. Lena, how old am I? I'm 90. I'm born in 93. I'm 28.
There's no way you have to ask her that.
I forgot. I was either 27 or 28. I kind of forgot.
I want to put it out this way. I'm not a millionaire yet. Is that shocking? Wow,
that is shocking. What the fuck? At no point in your life have you been a millionaire?
No.
Wow.
Not through global assets collectively put together or through bank account.
How is that even possible? What are you doing with your money, dude? what the fuck?
I just didn't get... I don't take that many sponsors or any sponsors at all.
Yeah.
And I think I didn't do much with my money beforehand except for letting it sit there for a while. And even though my investments have gone well, it's been interesting. I've always wanted to ask someone,
how much money they have?
Yes, because I feel like it's a topic you don't talk about.
I don't really care about talking about it. I'm pretty open with it. I think... Yeah, I made my first million when I was 22 through playing on teams, and then I invested my money pretty smartly. I just invested it in basic stocks, bonds, S&P 500.
Do you know what Kitty invested it into?
What?
Kitty wasn't a millionaire when he quit Dig. He invested all of his money into Tesla.
Oh, that's insane.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's why he's...
Holy shit. So he doesn't have to care about money anymore.
I mean... Practically speaking, I feel like none of us really do. But he's doing pretty well for himself. I hope I didn't give away his investing strategy right there. But yeah. I mean,
Tesla stocks just went up 1%. No, I just invested in random stuff and then I don't spend. I don't really like expensive things. I don't own expensive cars.
I only spend on food. I fucking love food.
Food brings me happiness.
Yes.
Spending money on others makes me happy. I can take people out or we go to an event and I can pay for the hotel.
I think the only thing that's changed in OTV didn't used to be mega rich. But ever since a lot of us have come into money, the only thing that's changed is that no one really cares who gets the bill. because at some point someone else is going to get the bill next time.
Yeah,
it used to be that we would fight for it somewhat, you know, but like now it's like, oh, you can have it because I know someone else has it. Like
yeah,
next time.
Yeah, yeah. Like
that's the only thing that's changed. I think that's sick. I've seen, except for some people buy designer a lot. Mm. Aside from those two things, nothing else has really changed.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's weird because I feel like most people in this kind of like area, we all like games, and typically, I mean, I don't want to make like huge generalizations, but I think if you like playing games, like your expenses can be pretty low.
Yeah,
a lot of times just in front of your computer. You know, games themselves cost like $60 max. Maybe if you're super into microtransactions, it'll cost you a few $100. But then you're just getting like hundreds of hours of your life. Like you're gonna enjoy it, and like you don't need to do anything else. So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really spend money, so I have a good amount banked up, and yeah, one day I'm going to buy a nice house, and that'll be my biggest expense ever, and that's it.
Are you buying in L.A.? Or are you mm-hmm. dipping?
Oh, yeah, dude, I want to live here.
You want to live in L.A.? Okay, yeah, okay.
You're here.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
I have to be your neighbor.
So I'm moving.
Oh, fuck.
No, I'm
just kidding.
L.A. is great to live in, but I feel like I'd like the place where you can, like, walk, like, more. I feel like... America has a lot of weird situations where everything is like a car. It's like a car country. You have to drive everywhere for the most part. Like I've been to Boston. I fucking rode their subway. Went to New York. Done the same thing. But
that's true.
A lot of it is like very car centric. But I feel like other countries are very like foot traffic kind of deal.
No, I agree. I do like going for a good walk. But like, can you imagine living super far away from like all your friends? It's like
one of
those catch-22 situations where like you, because all your friends live here, you live here.
Oh. There was a period of time where OTV and some of their friends were going to go to Vegas. And we were just like, do not, like, you can go there, but you're going to regret it. Do not go there. And even nowadays, like, OTV split up. Okay, we have this house where we're filming the podcast. But a lot of us are in, like, different small households. And even now we're like, okay, like, I'm moving closer to some people. And I'm paying premium for that just so geographically I can walk to their place. Or I'm, like... physically close to them, so to make the chances that we hang out like 1% more.
Oh, that's sick.
I'm willing to do that because like, who the fuck gives a shit about the other stuff? Like, I'd rather like, we're at the point where like, it's better to be closer to friends for sure.
No, yeah. Yeah, that's super huge. No, I'm glad you value that. Like, I think I'm already a hermit and I don't really go outside. Like, this is like one of the few times that I like leave my house to do something and I love it. But like, if I was to live far away, if I went to Texas, people go there for like tax purposes. Yes. So you make like 10% more money essentially. Or Vegas, kind of similar reasons. Properties like very cheap. Then
Ryan always tries to get us out there. Ryan Higa, it's so funny.
Because he lives there.
Yeah, he's like my favorite person in Vegas. I don't know who else is in Vegas. I just ruined a lot of people right there.
Damn.
But he's always like, he's like, I have my personal architect. We can build you the house right next to mine. I'm just like,
that's crazy. What the- He's trying to like annex you, like fucking.
He's like the main draw to go to Vegas. I'm not gonna lie, like he's such a cool guy, and like his house is beautiful. And it's funny because he's got the room, and he's like a very unassuming person. He's one of like the like most like down to earth people ever. But he has a room where you walk in, and he's like, oh yeah, those are my YouTube plaques. And you just walk past, and he has the OG YouTube plaques. Before they were made with real metal and very heavy. So if you try to take them, they're like 20 pounds each.
That's
insane.
He
has like four of them or something, and I'm like, oh.
He doesn't hang them because they'll break the wall.
Wow, dude! Imagine if you like try to burgle his house, and you're like, damn, what are these fucking plaques? And like, they're just too heavy. You can't take them out. That's crazy. I would love to see it actually.
Oh, we actually had this plan that we were gonna do that we never did, which I think would have been hilarious. But so we originally had A proposed to Wendy at Ryan's place, okay, and. We were going to be like, okay, so every time we go back to Ryan's place, we have to have someone propose. So whenever we go to Vegas, all the girls start getting tense. They're just like,
yeah.
Who is it this time?
Yeah. That's actually hilarious. Like, make it a tradition. Jesus.
Oh, but it's
not- I'm actually really glad that Ryan turned out to be a really cool guy. I feel like everyone knew about him when we were kids.
Yes.
Grew up. Everyone knew about his channel. And then... I don't know. Like, I hadn't heard of him for probably 10 years. I'm not going to lie. Like, I didn't really keep up. But then he kind of just started popping in recently. And usually when I hear about people that were famous from my childhood, they're like drug addicts or they turned out to be like crazy or assholes or something. But I guess he turned out to be really nice. I barely talked to him. But
it's crazy because like he could have chose more popular routes. So he had the option to stream on Twitch or YouTube and he decided to stream on Twitch. He had one day on YouTube, had insane numbers. And wow. he was like, nah, I'm good. And went back to Twitch because it was just like his chill thing, you know,
wow.
for the most part. Like he went from like getting burned out by YouTube videos, I think, and then ended up like back on Twitch. And mm-hmm. I think that he really enjoys it because he's like a super gamer at heart, honestly. Like the guy plays so many games.
That is crazy.
But he has like a normal schedule. He wakes up, he streams like 8 to 5, 8 to 3, and just dips. He's done.
Wow.
His whole day, he just does whatever.
I mean, do you say like 8 to 5 is like, I mean, most people would say, yeah, that's a 9-hour job. And you're just a grinder, dude. That's all I have to say. You're just a grinder. You have so many hours as a streamer. It's not fair.
Can I say this? Okay. So I told people I signed the Twitch contract a couple, like this year, essentially. I play ads mm-hmm. off of it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I also have...
Why are you looking at me?
Can I say this? I feel like, okay, I have to say that. I also have, like, with that contract, a lot of hours put in. Mm-hmm. More so than anyone I know. To where I tell people about the hours, like, what the fuck? But it's funny because I always think it's hilarious. I did, in 2019, I streamed every day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled, like a insane number. It was like 190 hours a month.
I remember every day your stream title was day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that challenge is useless except for the last month of the year. So up until you get there, no one gives a shit. And then in the last 30 days, people are like, oh, he's actually going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to say at no point during that challenge, I think I wasn't going to do it. It was the easiest thing I've ever done.
That's straight up. Crazy.
One of the easiest things. The hilarious part, that the year after, I streamed more hours.
Wow. More hours, but you just took some days off.
Yes, but yeah. I streamed more hours total than the year before. And I'm just like, man. And I did like similar ones the next year. And I'm just like, when I talk to people, they're always like, I stream to make money to do the things I love eventually in the future. And I'm just like, no, I love streaming.
Streaming's what you love.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I live to stream is what some people say. You know how you live to eat or like eat to live?
Yeah.
It's like I live to stream a lot of times.
That is great. I mean, like, that's great for you because what is like has a lot of friction for other people. Like for me, sometimes when I stream, I feel the friction of like, I don't want to stream, but I know that I should.
Oh.
And so it's like, I have to choose between doing like the easy and enjoyable thing or doing like the hard but productive thing. And then... But like for you,
I stream to dodge all responsibility in life.
Wow, it's like sometimes. The opposite for me. Like for me, streaming is the responsibility. Like I owe it to my viewers to stream today.
Really?
So, yeah, yeah.
It's much harder for me to do everything associated with being like a creator or a streamer. Mm-hmm. Like the management of like the YouTube channel, the working out with sponsorships, the manage like the working with OTV. All of that is more difficult. And so if I want to ignore responsibilities, I just stream. Because wow. I can push, like, it's like I have this big pile of stuff to do, and I just kind of move it over. And yeah. I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? Scar here on my stream, my fucking 8-hour stream, day number 70 of the year, you know?
Dude, you're a beast. But it makes sense because, like, you can't say that you're chilling on the couch. Like, you were actually, you're streaming. Like, I'm streaming. Like, I can't handle this right now because I have to stream today. But like, nothing I can do.
It's like a lot of times I feel like it's taking the easy way out. But yeah, I realize like that's the kind of person I am. I built myself a habit through pure like repetition.
Yeah.
And I think that like I realize that that's my strength.
Yeah.
So using that, this year is the first year I also tried to do that for other things. So like I've been working out every day of the month. Mm-hmm. I have been every day of the month because I feel like if I build myself that habit, kind of like I did with streaming, I can eventually, hopefully, praying to God, see it through.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been working out so well so far, but I'm just like, man, I hope it doesn't stop. But yeah. I think if I don't care about motivation, it's always about like you know the discipline.
It's about schedule. Yeah, discipline.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That matters a lot more to me.
No, I fully agree. Actually, I enjoy like there are weeks where I really fucking love streaming and I would love to stream every single day, 10 hours a day. I'm so into it. And then there are weeks where I'm like, there's really nothing that I particularly want to stream this week. Like I'm playing Elden Ring, you know, like I'm playing something else. And then it feels like a hard choice. But man, dude, I envy you. Like I wish we could switch brains in that way for like a year.
I think I do a lot of bad things because like I can just like, I recognize that, like, it's bad for me. I can, like, I still don't do it. And I think that's worse than not knowing. It's like, I'd prefer to just not be, like, cognizant of the wrong decision that I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But Elden Ring, game of the year?
Game of the year, game of the year.
Oh,
game of the year.
My God.
So good. Oh, my. I can't stop drinking it off.
This is a gaming podcast starting from right now. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, guys, it's so good.
If you're not playing Elden Ring, you either don't like Souls-like or you have been living under a bridge. It's fucking amazing.
Even if you don't like Souls game or you've never played, like, obviously, Souls games have a reputation for being, like, brutally difficult, right? But, like, this is a game where if you get stuck, you can just turn around and go the other direction and find something that you can do and come back. Like, it just is so well designed. Like, the game is so it's a masterpiece.
The funniest thing about these types of games, I was talking to I think Cutie about it, and he was like, yeah, it's the people who play Souls games and the people who play League of Legends are very similar because they have gigantic egos and they can't, and so whenever you see a streamer like see a boss, they can't stop. I've not seen a single streamer they say like, oh, you can go another direction and like level up and come back. No, it's we're down here 6 hours or like we're down here 8 hours. It's getting nitty gritty.
I'm not walking away from this until the boss is dead.
Yes. Yeah. And like I spent like 5 hours on one boss, 2 hours on another boss. Like I have been like, okay, I'm doing the thing. I like another 4 hours or 3 hours on another boss. I was like, okay.
Oh, dude, I loaded in. I was streaming. I loaded in out of the tutorial, and I spent 3 hours wiping to Tree Sentinel, the first boss in the game. He's optional. You can walk past him. You're supposed to walk past him. 3 hours dying to him. Eventually, I killed him. And a whole 3 hours, everyone's like, is this actually fun? You're just permanently dying. Like, why don't you just come back when it's easier? And I'm just like, dude, that's not the point. Like, the point is to prove to myself that I can do it because, like, I want to be good.
I the stubborn tenacity is kind of what I feel like. Oh god, if you're a League player, you're like, it's perfect, you know. You just grinded solo queue just like you grinded this, you know. And
yeah, just grind.
It's great. Like, but like the backseat is like, oh, why do you summon here, man? Like, you sure you missed a summon back there? Are you sure you don't want to bring in some?
You're not supposed to. Like, it's not ethical. Yeah.
I love that you could spend 3 hours in the first boss and he drops minor spoiler a weapon you can't use.
Exactly. Oh my god, I haven't even. It's so true. Actually no point in killing him.
You get it? You're just like, okay, well, I didn't waste that time. I'm good.
Yeah, dude, I'm actually so amazed. Like, I keep track of, because I'm always looking for a new game to like stream or even just to play on the side, and I keep track of Steam charts. I don't know if you ever look, but like I just try to see like what games are popping off on Steam, right? And usually, usual suspects, Dota 2, CS:GO. For a really long time, it's been Lost Ark at the top, and then I'm really surprised because every single day I look, Elden Ring is the most played game, and I just think it's the most popular game right now on Steam, which is a global platform, but it's supposed to be such a, like an inaccessible game too, because it's like only for like hardcore gamers, you know, like really sweaty, grindy gamers, but. No, I mean, it's
beautiful game. It's incredible. And I went from 2 years or a year and a half of having games I didn't super like. Mm-hmm. You know, I could only subsist on Valorant like so much in my life.
Oh, my God.
It's like I could play like a little bit of Valorant and then I'm like, all right, I'm good. And my friends could play like a month of Valorant and they're like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, but like after that month, you're like, wow, there's really not that much. Like you can only work on like your raw mechanics and like it feels that there's not that much like things you can work on in the game, like, death wise.
Yeah, game runs out of substance. Yes. I think that's what makes League kind of as a contrast so unique. Like that's why League has a longevity is because there's so much substance and there's so many directions that you can improve in League that it feels like you're never quite where you want to be.
Yes.
And there's always a very like easy way that you can improve, so or like at least a very straightforward way that you can improve. So yeah, I mean like people I don't know why like League has just so big for so long, and I always wondered like what's the magic sauce that makes that possible. You know, all these other games, they come and go, they die, but League, how many times do people say like League is dead, but like it's still massive.
Yeah, I think it's just Riot Games is just
they're too good.
I know people complain about their balancing, but realistically, if you look at other games' balance, it's like maybe they get back to you in like 4 months or they don't balance at all. Mm-hmm. I remember the initial Super Smash or Smash Ultimate patch notes or something were just like terrible. It was like Kirby's attack is faster and you had to have the people go frame by frame to like really figure out like how much fucking faster is his attack or something.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy what they had to do to figure out what was going on. And Riot was just like, okay, we feel this is it and this is it, you know? And they get it wrong a lot of times, but like at least like we get that.
I think like for as much shit as like Riot gets for changing the game and doing they don't get nearly enough credit for like doing actually listening to the community. Like, everyone in the community is like, why doesn't Ryan just listen to me? Oh my God, we've been saying this for years. But they so frequently listen to the community on changes to their game, and it, like, it really shows. I don't know. Like, there's a reason why the game has so much longevity, right? Like, they actually do listen to the community. The things that come to mind is, like, the Chemtech Drake thing. Like, when champions are, like, super cancerous and just disgusting to play against, they do nerf them. And
Yumi's still in the game, man.
Yumi's still in the game. That's true. But you know what's interesting? I heard about this. Only Western regions think that Yumi is disgusting. When they pull, like, when Riot, like, internally asked about, like, asked the East, like, Vietnam, China, Korea, about champs like Yumi, it wasn't nearly as negative. Like, it wasn't even the, like, top 10, like, worst champions to play against or whatever. So, it's really weird.
Did they ever talk about, like, Cin Zhao?
Cin Zhao?
It used to be before Rework, no one played him in the West. Do you remember? But apparently he was really highly played in the East. Like, especially in China. And then when they reworked him, he dropped the play rate in China, apparently.
Wow, that's insane.
I don't remember if it was for Cin Zhao or Wukong. It was one of those two very, like, culturally, like, appropriate characters. Mm-hmm. And then you have to ask yourself, was the rework worth it? Because they lost more global players than they gained reworking a character.
That's crazy. That is so funny. No, it reminds me of, like, I watched a video about how in China there's 10 servers, and each of them is, like, 5 times bigger than the entire NA server. So there's a minimum of, like, a 50 times multiplier of players in China than there are in NA.
Yeah.
And that's, like, it's just, like, completely crazy, because realistically it's probably something like there's 100 times more players in China than there are in North America. So, like, why would they even give a shit about 1% of their players that happen to be, like, from born in the USA, right? Like, obviously Riot's an American company. They do care, and they do, like, obviously put in a lot of effort. But, man, if I was them, I'd be like, yo, Chinese players, like, what do you want?
And they do. When IG won Worlds, like, everyone in China got, like, their full – didn't they get, like, their full account unlocked? They got, like, a bunch of stuff in the client when they won Worlds.
I had no idea.
I'm sure when North America wins Worlds, we're going to get something like that too, right?
Oh, dude, yeah. Wait for it, guys. Just wait for it.
Oh, God.
Real soon. Oh. I would actually – I keep asking people this, is, like, would you bet – your life savings that NA will ever win Worlds in League? And I'll ask you this too.
How long of a time span are you giving me?
Before League officially closes down, before the esports circuit, you know, closes down for League, do you think that North America will ever win Worlds? An official Riot Games World Championship?
Well, currently, we don't need domestic players on our team anymore.
Yeah.
So I would say there's a higher chance, yes. Because I think...
You think that it's a higher chance that we will win than that we never win?
Oh, man. No. But if you were to ask if I bet money on it, I'd bet a little bit.
I'd probably bet a little bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of a gambler. I bet a little bit.
I like gambling. Yeah. And I have a little bit of regional pride, obviously.
Yeah,
so
but my regional pride is in, like, core and, like,
yeah.
I'm going to be like, yeah, Summit's the best NA player I've ever seen.
Let's just put together, like, all of the best players that are in North America, whether or not, you know, they don't have to be born here. That doesn't really matter.
So one of the things I always thought of when it came to, like, League of Legends, first of all, I think it's hilarious that people don't know I was a League pro or don't know I was even in League. Sometimes when people come to my stream, they're just like, oh, you're the guy who plays TFT or you're part of OTV. Like, I get people who are like not associated at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, back then when, like, the regional stuff was just happening, we had, like, LMQ, a full Asian team that just came in.
Holy shit. You're actually bringing back the memories.
And they were all... boosting.
Yeah.
They were all boosting.
They came here to get the bag, dude. You can't blame them.
Oh, God. So these guys, I always thought that Riot should have done a 4-1 split where it was one import allowed per team. And that way, like, they would have forced the teams to focus on regional development more. Because that's the only way you would have forced it. Because with 3-2, you can kind of cheese it.
Yeah.
And they've done that. They've officially cheesed the system. The system is cheese. It's Swiss. It's cheddar.
Yeah.
Right? The North American, like, LCS is no longer North American.
Yeah. It hasn't been for a while.
But I think if it was forced to be 4-1, it'd be very interesting. Because you think about it, I think a lot of different sports, the requirement is like 20% of the field can be imports. 40% is a lot. Like, 40% is almost half of your roster players is allowed to be an import.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just one of those things I thought of.
That is an interesting thought. Like, how different it would be. Because the way it is now is, like, half of the imports have been here for over 4 years, so they count as a resident. Yes. And it's like, now you see teams where there's not a single American player on the roster.
I think it would have been worse a lot more years than it got better, which is like, how could it have been worse when we didn't do anything in those years?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Do you watch the LCS still? Is it still enjoyable for you?
It is. It's weird. Like, I always have a soft spot for competitive league. Mm-hmm. It's just what I spent my entire adult life engrossed in. So I just enjoy it. Like, I enjoy watching it. I enjoy talking about it. I obviously enjoy playing. Like, I still maintain, like, a top 50 challenger account, and I play a lot, you know? Like, I just love the game. I love League. Like, the same way that you live to stream, like, I kind of live to stream, but I also live to play League.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's just a good game.
I wish I was like that still. Like, I think at some point, really? Like, I lost the competitive drive. When I started hanging out with more people from OTV and stuff, mm-hmm. like, I started molding my, like, desires about what would make it fun for everyone. You know, I'm just mm-hmm. that type of person, I think, when it comes to the end. And that kind of changed my personal desires and stuff. So when I look at games right now, I don't look at, like, how competitive it is or, like, how can I climb. I'm like, can I get my friends to play this game for a long period of time before quitting?
Ooh, I think about that too now that I'm a streamer. That is so important.
Yes. I'm like, Lost Ark, how many people are going to burn out? Or like, or like whatever MMO, how many people are going to burn out? Like, can these people have fun? Like, how can I maximize the fun? So I'm always like, okay, how's the new player experience here? Like, whatever. And these are things I never gave a shit about when I was like competitive. I was like, new player experience, those new players don't deserve to live, you know?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, it's like there's a, like, they get smurfed on and they get deleted, you know? And they lose the player base. But that's why that happens, you know? All I care about is the top of the ladder. But now it's like, no, I'm good. And Champions Q came out, right?
Yeah.
And I remember one thing that, I talked to was Austin / Link about, and he said that if I ever played another MOBA, mm-hmm. everyone would hate me because the way I play League of Legends as randomly is I'll play random characters for like the first time and just like fuck around. Mm-hmm. But like, I can't imagine me playing like some of those Champions Queue games. Like, okay, so I think I'm just gonna go Veigar here. And they're gonna be like,
yeah, funny enough, Veigar's actually meta right now. But
wait, really?
Yeah. He's like really strong. But I see what you're saying. Like, honestly, I think Champions Queue is a bit overstated in how serious it is. There are people playing off-roll. There are people who play with no voice. They just instantly leave Discord. Like, there are people who, they're just fucking around. Like, Blibber's queuing up mid, you know? Like, it's...
But it's, like, more competitive, so it's more fun, right?
Yeah, it's more competitive. It feels like there's more stakes. I think, like, Riot could have... Oh, man, whatever.
Done this for the ladder?
Like, they could have done this for the ladder. They could have made games regionalized based on... If there's 10 players in West Coast, the lobby is set up on the West Coast, and just added a prize pool to solo queue. Like, it's just weird that they never did that.
I remember asking about this 10 years ago, and they were like, 8 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, and they were like, we don't ever want to offer monetary rewards for people climbing the ladder. Something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what about RP? Something like fucking
anything.
Yeah, I was like, what if you just give RP to like challengers and then like scale it up to like top one or whatever, you know? Because I remember in season 2 where I was actually like on the top of the ladder, like fourth place mm-hmm. in the ladder. Mm-hmm. I remember I was so mad because Poe Butter was like, oh yeah, top 3 actually got RP for the season. You didn't get any? Oh, that sucks.
Blows.
And I believed him. I believed him for like months. And then he finally was like, oh, that was a lie. I'm like, oh, he was like 15 at the time. Yeah, I was like,
he was trolling you, little 15-year-old Zoomer, dude.
Oh man. It's interesting because I feel like, a lot of us are from, like, the first era of League, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not, like, first, which was Beta, which was, like, Hotshot Reggie's era. But, like, right after Beta, I would say, like, me, you, and, like, there's a lot of, like, mainstays that are still around, like, Cutie Pie, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which, like, that era felt really interesting. I always feel like I passed the eras where, like, essentially you have to do everything yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. In those eras, it's like you had to be your own coach. You had to develop your own strategies for improvement. You had to like scout yourself. You had to figure out your own self-development strategies. Yes. You had to figure out like what was OP. Like there was no such thing as coaching. Even when I was a coach, like I sucked kind of. You remember?
I don't even remember. No, I straight up don't even remember the fact. Like for context, like Scar was my coach in season 5 on CLG.
He nuked that part from his brain.
I straight up don't remember. The only thing that I remember was you had good taste in food, so we would like definitely have a good time whenever it was like, you know, day off time to go eat. We would pick like the sickest restaurants. I don't remember anything else.
That's like, all. That's all he needs to remember.
The impression.
Oh God. I had great coaching strategies. Strategies like, okay, Darshan's vegetarian, so I need to find a place that can, that like, I felt like the best way to get people to talk was around food. So I was just like, where could they all eat together? And because the way I got the most information about the day was at like 3 a.m. and McDonald's runs where randomly I would be in the car with Afro and I think Link, and Afro would just turn to me and be like, so today's scrims didn't go too well. I really didn't like this. And I'm like, oh, you didn't like this. Okay. Oh, I'm like, wow. Mentally writing this out. He didn't like that. Okay.
Why did you just say something after the scrim, bro? Like, went to McDonald's. About
8 hours later at McDonald's. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. That food's going to be how it works. So
that
like,
is so funny.
A lot of my coaching strategy was like, yeah, it's around food. And that's hilarious. You know? But it sadly worked. And I'm like thinking about alternatives I could have done. And I'm like, I don't know if there was that many at the time. I'm curious what... Have you been around a really good coach?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Who do you remember that's like S tier, really fucking good coach?
Kane and Dodo. They're both. I mean, Kane was a top four player in the world, top four support in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did he like? How did he coach you? Like, what did he teach you? Was it like micro? Was it like macro? Was it like mix? Was it just like thinking differently?
I wouldn't say that there's anything that he specifically taught me that I, you know, it was like, wow, what a revelation. It was just like his way of thinking was so different. He was so intelligent about the game. And so like when we would talk about the game, I felt like I was talking to someone with like, I have so much respect for, you know, just so smart, so sharp, so well-researched, like so, there's like always some substance to what he's talking about. He's not just like fucking like, you know how people like sometimes they just like to kind of just like talk shit. They just like say whatever about the game. This guy, you could just tell he had like a deep wisdom about him. So I could respect everything that he said. Even if I disagreed with it, I'd be like, I want to know like why he thinks that, even though I don't think the same way. He's just, I don't know. It's so hard to explain. It's so hard to pin it down. But what he did for me as a player is he made me think about everything like a little differently than I was. Like I was kind of stuck and he kind of like shook me up a little bit on everything.
That's like, I don't think I've ever heard you talk about a coach in your life.
Yeah, I know. He was the only coach that I...
I've watched too much stuff about you.
Like, why?
You've been around for 10 years. I always be like, oh, what's Double Lift's thoughts on this? Some random shit. Or like, I always see like top clips. I'd be like, oh, Double Lift's thoughts on this. Let's go watch this, you know? Or like on YouTube, it'll be like, Double Lift's the fucking random thoughts on this. But I've never once heard you talk about your coach. That's why I had to ask, like, that was crazy. I didn't know Kane was like that.
He's like this quiet, unassuming guy. And like, what was so weird about him that was like almost like a tragedy is, so he was our coach, and I, even though he was really friendly with the players, you know, kind of like, you know, you're like really nice and smiling, yeah, and like we get along, and like everyone wanted to be closer to him as a result because we had respect for him and he was nice, but like he always kept a healthy distance from the players. And then later I found out it's like because he felt a duty to never really be like any of our friends, because that would like mess up the relationship between like coach and player. You know, it would mess up the hierarchy if we were too close to him. Oh. So he spent a lot of time. He would like intentionally skip out on like team dinners and stuff.
Or isolate himself?
Yeah, like he wouldn't come out to like all of the social gatherings of the team because he wanted to just maintain that healthy professional distance so that we would always see him just as our coach and not as our like,
that
our, you know,
feels
good
like
friend.
A very Eastern like mindset. I respect that
is.
A lot though.
It
holy
is.
Moly.
Crazy, dude. Crazy.
He made himself like lonelier to like secure the win.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like all that was on his mind, I feel like, was winning. And I can resonate a lot with that. So it was really cool to work with him. And it's so weird, like, how different cultures interact with coaches and stuff. Because, like you said, Eastern versus Western style of, like, competitor and coach is just so different. So different. The guy couldn't give less of a shit about social media following or clout or his reputation. He could not care less about being on camera and making tweets. And then you look at Western coaches, and it's like, put the attention on me, you know. Team success, it's all me. I'm tweeting, I'm making videos, I'm doing interviews. Like, he didn't give a shit about any of that. All he cared about was winning.
Oh, God. I still remember the Coach Chris stuff.
Oh my god. Oh my god. No, yo, yo, dude. We could talk about it. We could talk about it.
Okay.
A football coach from Clemson University. He was our coach. We actually, CLG won for the very first time with Coach Chris. So it was results.
Hype. Yes.
Results speak for themselves. The guy, okay, this is all alleged. I heard, you know, kind of about it afterwards, but
it's a key
during
longer,
our
right?
time, yeah, during our time on the team, he installed a program on all of our PCs. And the point of the program is during scrim time, during this time where it's only focused on practice, we can't have anything open on our computers except for League and our voice program, right? So we can communicate. We open Google Chrome, it insta-closes.
Oh my God.
We have this program on 10 hours a day. And then afterwards, we're free to browse, go on Twitter, whatever, go on Reddit. And we have this program on every single day for like 6 months. And at the end of the year, Coach Chris is let go. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? You know, why did this guy get let go? And we found out that apparently within that program was a keylogger. And it was like a huge beast of privacy. I'm guessing from his perspective, it was like to, you know, just to keep tabs on like maybe we're like scamming his program or whatever, or like circumventing it. But like, well, pretty fucked up, you know? Like, we don't know if he was just logging, like, every one of our fucking private messages. So, yeah, it was kind of weird.
The best part about that is I heard about this from before because I was close with some of the people on CLG, right?
Yeah.
And he immediately after this split, he got the job working for a European team. And I remember being like, is no one going to tell them? Like, no one. Just everyone's just like, no, oh, we're cool with it.
Hands off, dude.
Yeah.
No one talked about it.
Yeah. And then he got quietly let go, like, I think 3 to 4 months into the split.
Wow.
And then he disappeared. Coach Chris doesn't exist in the scene anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, did they hear? Like, did what happened? Like, I don't know what happened. But, like, the story of Coach Chris is so funny because
it is so funny.
It's more surreal. Like, I remember people being like, whatever happened to him? Was it the brick? Was it just like...
disappeared. Like, he headshotted a 100% win rate in LCS first time for CLG and then just left. Like, it was crazy. Unbelievable stuff, actually.
I remember the whole time, what was it, Devin was the CEO CLG being like, we can't put out a public message for this. I'm like, are you sure? Like, I'm pretty sure you could just, like, that was illegal. You have to put out a public message, but like, you know, probably, I don't know if you should get a job in the scene again, you know? That's kind of weird.
Dude, what's actually also crazy, you're stirring up memory, is like, I would have retired in season 5 if it wasn't for Coach Chris. Because at the beginning of the split, I think it was transitioning between you and him. Between spring and summer, right?
It's because CLG didn't trust Tony to be head coach.
Yeah.
And then they just hired some random guy. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then that's what happened.
So, you know, this football coach comes in. I've never met him in my life. He's like, hey, I'm Chris. And I'm like packing my shit. You know, I'm like, I'm done. I'm thinking about quitting. I'm going to go move out of the team house. I'm thinking about retiring and just doing full-time streaming because that's where the money's at. You know, like I'm trying to have a career with a lot of longevity, and I feel like at this point I'm so down on my luck. I played professionally for 5 years. I haven't won anything, and I'm like, I hate this idea. I'm like, oh fuck, I'm just like, everyone memes on me, I've never won anything, but I'm like the best player, never to win anything. It just feels like shit. So, you know, I'm telling him, yeah, I'm thinking about quitting, and he's like, dude, if you want to quit, then quit. You know, I'm not gonna try to convince you. I just got here, you know. I'm not gonna like tell you what to do with your life, but just know that, you know, if you walk away from being a pro player, like, you don't really get to easily come back. Like, you're always just going to be a quitter, you know, like that mark on your career will be there forever, that you're a quitter. And I was like, this bitch just called me a quitter. Like, I can't, my ego is like, damn, dude, what the hell? So he's kind of a genius, honestly. He can, like, he fucked with me, and I was like, I don't want to be a quitter. So, okay, I'll give one more split. And we happen to win that split, so I say it as a pro player.
Oh, yeah.
But if he took any other approach, you know, if he tried to talk me out of it, I would have been like, this bitch thinks he can talk me out of it? Fuck him, I'm quitting. Like, I'm going to go retire. But he took the reverse psychology approach.
Oh, what a fucking genius.
What a genius, man. If only it wasn't for the keylogger. Yeah, you know, maybe Andy would have won Worlds. Like, who knows?
Oh, God. Those are some interesting fucking times, man.
No, seriously. Actually, like, early League days, fucking wild. And I feel like for a lot of people, like, those early League days and the nostalgia around them is, like, a really big part of their life. And it's impossible to recapture. Because League now, you know, the current, like, esports, it's so serious. It's so stiff. It's so corporate. It doesn't feel the same.
Dude, you know when you said you were, like, a millionaire at 22 off your team contracts?
Yeah.
When I left Dignitas, I was almost broke.
That's insane.
I literally had to... I've told you this before. I had to stream 28 out of the 30 days of that month to make enough money to move out to live.
Wow.
So as a contrast to like how salaries were, or how like how we were like one of the only teams to have to pay rent. Mm-hmm. And then the rent was under my name, and the utilities were under my name, and they didn't take it out for me. And then when we left and I had to get an apartment, they closed my utility bill on me after overcharging it. And I lost 100 credit scores. So I couldn't get an apartment complex. Or wow. any apartment in LA.
That's so all rejected. You needed to get somebody to like sign for you?
I needed to like call them, redo it. And like I had someone vouch for me. I had to pay like 6 months upfront because I had the money. Wow. I was just like,
please. It's like drug money though. Yeah, you're like,
you could just leave at any time. I'm like, no, I promise. Like they overpaid on my account. But like, who's going to trust me, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So like, those were what happened to me back then. And I think it's so funny. Like nowadays I hear people's salaries. I'm like, oh, this player gets paid like 400K. I'm like, that's a ridiculous fucking number.
Yeah, it is. It is. Seriously. Like a player of your level, like relative back then, right? Like you were a top three player in your position. A player of your level and brand size, like if you just transplanted that to now, dude, you'd be making like close to $1 million a year. It's no problem. Like you'd be making like 500K plus a year. It's absolutely insane how different it is. And like, even though I think I might have been even exaggerating, probably 23, 24, something like that was when I became like, I got my like first $1 million or whatever piled up. But when I started, my contract was a 5K a month, you know, like it was just barely enough to live off of 60K a year.
It was 4K a month minus my rent.
Wow. That's crazy. They're fucking stealing your rent money out of your contract.
And the stipend from LCS, I think, was 3. So we got paid 1 up, and we lost 1.5 for the house. So, like...
That's so fucked, man.
Oh, it was a good fucking time. I love old LCS stories. They're the fucking best.
Did you learn money management as, like, a child? Like, did you... Do you mind me asking? Like, did you grow up, like... upper, lower, middle class.
I grew up poor. Like not on the streets poor, but like collecting cans off the street.
Oh, dude, your family did that too?
To turn in at the highest time during the month where the metal turning rate was the highest. We'd have like big bags and we'd go into it's crazy.
And your patio is just filled with giant bags of cans.
And we'd make like $25.
It's so worth it. Dude, my family's pastime was like every day at like when it was night, we lived next to a bar. So we would walk over to the bar. We would go through every trash can and pick up all the cans because people are drinking beer, right? It's just a bunch of cans there. And we would just collect them. And it smelled like piss. It smelled so bad. It was disgusting. But it was like fun because I'm a little kid. Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, you got to pick out the cans. Every one of them is 5 cents. You know, like we got to turn them in. Yeah, it's fun. Dude, it's crazy because I think you learn the value of not wasting your money if you, you know, very easily.
Okay, I think, the thing what happened when I got into money was, like, I always wanted, I wanted money to not matter for people. Because once I got into money, like, I could live on very, like, a low amount.
Yeah.
So for On Dig, I used to pay for everyone's food. Every meal.
You're almost. So nice, man.
But, like, what happened was because of that, and because we got paid little, when we exited Dig, that's the reason why I had the money.
You fucked yourself, dude. I mean, I like it to be fair. I don't mind. Yeah, I definitely would, like, pay for people's meals as much as possible.
And I realized, like, it should be like that. But, like, back then, like, I just didn't want people to fight. And people were, like, penny pinch about, like, certain things, and I'd be like, look, I don't care. Just get us, like, I just want to go to this restaurant, eat well, leave. And then, like, have a good time. So mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, I'll pay for it. I don't care. Let's get us out. The funniest thing is, Dig once had a spat with TSM. And OD was like, if you beat them, I'll pay for dinner. And we beat them.
And
literally, as we won, Crumbs and Cutie fucking pulled out like the most expensive dinner place we can go to. It was a 3-course place, and we ordered like 5 appetizers. The bill was $600, okay, for like 5 people, okay. And I gave the bill to Odie, and he couldn't believe it. He's like, he's pissed, but like, I'll pay for it.
Yeah,
he never paid for it. I paid.
Wow, that's so fucked up.
I think he like forgot, but like,
no, he didn't forget, man, dude. He fucked you. What?
I'm pretty sure I paid for it, and like, I don't think I ever got the money back. But I was like, all right, you know what? But, like, I'm not going to tell my team that. I'm like, we have a good fucking time. But, like, that came out of my pocket.
That is so fucking funny. Dude, one of the sayings in my family in Shanghainese is like, nothing in life is free. You know, yeah. Everything has a cost. And then I got into esports, and sometimes the teams are giving us they're giving us the team card to pay for stuff. And I'm like, whoa, this is actually free. So I would just go crazy. I'd be like, you know, normally I'm like fucking buying the cheapest, most value meal stuff possible. Mm-hmm. But like with the team card, when I'm out on events and stuff, like I'm eating good, you know, like I'm getting the appetizer, oh I'm getting the dessert. God. Like I might double up on the entrees. And like the funniest shit is even now, like a couple years ago, I'm like separating from TSM, and Lena has the TSM company card still. And it's like, yo, can I see that card real quick? And like, I'll get myself a coffee, you know, like, it's just like, there's some stuff in life actually is free, especially if it's a business expense.
Oh my God.
I thought the
lesson was going
to
be.
Explain it though. You have to explain it.
Explain what? Oh, yeah, yeah. Lena has a certain amount of like expenses in there, like that she needs to use that is granted to her by the company. So it's not like we're like fucking like exploiting money out of. But it feels really good when someone else pays for something. Food just tastes better. The clothes fit nicer. Like I don't know.
I thought you were gonna give us like a life lesson about how like there everything in life does cost something, but it actually went the opposite way.
Oh no, no, that saying is bullshit. Some stuff legit is free. So I did not tie it back to the beginning very well there. I was trying to prove that it was wrong.
Oh, you know what? I'll take that. Yeah, I think
you know what's actually free though? Your Twitch Prime, twitch.tv/doublelift.
Oh my God. Oh, you're getting good at that. You couldn't have done that years ago.
No, I'm trolling,
you're
I'm
a great fucking streamer. Now look at
I
that.
I practice in the mirror, I wake up, I do a few reps.
Oh shit,
dude. Do you ever actually ask? I feel like such a scam artist if I ask for subs.
I don't.
I never ask for like, subs. Like it's a joke. Like it's literally a meme.
I think you can only do it ironically.
Yeah, of course.
Like but like even if I can't even do it ironically. I feel weird.
Yeah.
So I'm never you're talking to the guy who doesn't have alerts, man. It's like I don't.
You don't have a what?
I don't have alerts, like stream alerts.
Oh wow.
You're talking. Yeah. So like yeah, I've never really like fished for subs. It's like my subs have to literally don't donate and give like a speech for me to read.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, Twitch Prime is great. And I'm like reading the stuff. I'm like, oh,
oh
yeah,
it's another one.
Yeah. Thank you for that, man.
Those guys are homies.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got me, man.
My God. That is so funny.
But yeah, I feel like ever since I got to a certain point, like I don't need the subs, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like it's like, okay, I make it really well for myself. Like everything's going well. I don't need it.
I almost feel like sometimes I'm scamming my subs because I like recently I spent a few $100 on getting better emotes because I wanted my subs to feel like they were getting some value. And the emotes turned out pretty good, but like I never understand how subbing to someone can ever be worth their $5. You know, assuming most people are like normal people, it's like $5.
You'll have a lot of regulars in your chat that I know some people by name. I'm not gonna name them right now. I'm not gonna name them right now because they're gonna get huge egos if I do.
Oh shit,
but
bro.
There's at least like 20 people I recognize every single day that are always there. You know, and like for those people who are literally, I'm doing 180 hours, 200 hours a month, and they're there for 150 to 160 of those hours. And then $5 for them is nothing because like that's like benefits.
Actually. You just reminded me that if you sub to a channel, you don't get ads, and that's like fucking annoying.
Yes.
Like it's almost like when you're playing a phone game and you're like paid $3 so that you can stop getting these annoying video ads.
I always do Twitch Turbo even before they gave like partner streamers like no ads, because like they realized that like when streamers are going to raid people, and then they got an ad that looked bad on Twitch, so Twitch did that, like partner streamers no longer get that.
Oh wow.
But like even before that, I've had Twitch Turbo for like years because you don't get ads, and like because I've always wanted to raid people, and I hate when the thing pops up, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm forced to play ads contractually, but I would also want the ads to be like done a little bit better. But I can't do anything about that. Like I accepted the contract that requires me to do that. And I'm just like, okay, well I do the best I can.
Yeah, dude, hearing about your Twitch contract makes me, because like I'm sort of like thinking about that right now, and it makes me very cautious because I don't want to fuck up my relationship with my viewers ever. But You said that you recognize some of your chatters, and it reminded me that some of my subs have been subbed to me for over 7 years. And it's like, it's absolutely insane to me. Like, you could graduate college, get married, and have kids in 7 years. You know, like, people grow to be completely different people within 7 years. And they've been watching me for that long.
I think my longest sub just hit 121 years.
Months.
Months, sorry.
121 years. 120, damn.
121 months. I think that's... like, it's a crazy amount of time. Like, literally, they've been there forever. Like, I literally told them, I'm like, whatever. I'm making a 10-year emo badge for two people.
That is insane.
But, like, it's for them.
It better be the fucking sickest art I've ever seen. I want to go look at it.
But, like, I'm getting, like, badges redone because, like, I have people who are, like, 8 years, 7 years. And I'm just like, these are the homies, you know. They've been with me forever. Even when I didn't stream, those years... I had a year or a half a year I didn't stream, and they were still sub to me, you know?
They just left it on, man. They don't. It's not
they're the homies, man. They're the homies.
That is fucking crazy.
I do have an interesting question. So, like, you see a lot of, like, people who've been in the like, league space kind of go out and do stuff that's still kind of tangibly, like, in the scene, you know? Like, I started, like, OTV.
Yeah.
We have Broden Sydney over there who's kind of, like, working with us. But he used to work with Travis to do interviews. Me interviewing you. You know,
what a glow up. What an absolute glow up, man. I gotta say, the life circumstances of Roden have really changed in the last 2 years. Oh my God. Dude, League is probably the most hostile environment. I don't want to say hostile. It's just the most difficult environment to get into and to
get out
easily of. Transition out of. Yeah, and I think there's no better example than people like Cutie and Sneaky, who, like, you know how it is. Like, when they stream League, it's 10K viewers easy. When they stream anything else, it's down to the dumps, and it feels really bad because it's about having something substantial and having it taken away from you. It feels bad. You're always going to compare yourself to what you could have been if you'd just been playing League on stream instead.
I think... A lot of, if you want to stream variety, and because, like, you can't, for your mental sake, you can't stream League forever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, to protect that mental, you have to give up some of your, like, I guess, laser focus on just League, or else, like, you would just die because you can't stream it, y'all, you know?
My dream is, and I know this will never happen, but everyone has to have, like, a dream, right? Like, my dream is to be like XQC, where he is amazing at certain games. Like, I've seen him play Mario Kart, and he's like, fucking insane at Mario Kart. And he's fucking insane at so many games, but, like, he can play whatever he wants. As long as he's having fun, then it's contagious and people like watching him. Obviously, like, our personalities are very different and all that, and, like, his success and his amount of grind is not comparable to mine. But it's like, I would love to be a variety streamer someday because I love games. I love games. I love competing. I love a lot of things, but and I play a lot of games, and I would love to be able to stream them, but it's so hard to transition out of League. You have to do it carefully. And if you do it all at once, I think you end up disappointing a lot of your viewers.
You know, I had a year where I did Variety Fridays. So I tried to transition to Variety every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea when you start transitioning is you start with the game you're known for.
Yeah.
And you end with the game to bring your viewers into any game, right?
Of course.
I found out after that 6 or 8 months that I don't want to ever be a Variety streamer.
Why?
I talked to, the person who convinced me of this, or not convinced me, but I kind of agreed with, do you know Dog?
He's a card game player.
Yeah, with Hafu, you know. Yeah. Like, fantastic guy. I fucking love that guy. He told me he never wanted to be a variety streamer because he only likes playing specific games. And I realized that I'm the same way. Like, I only like grinding multiplayer games, usually with ladders. I don't ever want to be a full variety streamer. I want to be the streamer you said, which is, like, essentially, like, you can play anything and people come watch you, but I never want to be a variety streamer because I will only at any moment ever stream or play three different games.
Oh, I see. I honestly got it. I think I just don't even understand the fucking definition of a variety streamer. I want to be able to play whatever I want. I definitely don't want to open my stream every day and be like, yo, what's new today, guys? Like, let's try something else. I'm like, no, that's not me. I love grinding. Yeah.
I think that's just like a little specific definition for me. It's like I've realized through those 6 or 8 months that I didn't want to go full variety. Because I tried a new game every week. I was like, all right, guys, we're going to play. I don't know what indie game this is.
I would hate that.
I'm going to try.
I would hate that.
And, like, I even tried continuing, like, normal games for long weeks. And then eventually I was like, I don't really like. It's very rare I ever play a single player game ever.
Yeah,
it's like Sekiro, Elden Ring.
Yeah.
The one card game, Slay the Spire. Like, and a lot of times those single player games end up being my game of the year, which is hilarious. But like, I'm very picky when it comes to single player games.
Because single player games are lonely and boring.
Yes.
Playing with other people adds an element of just like, it's so hard to replicate that enjoyment. Like doing something, I think I'm a bit biased because I played WoW my whole life. But like at the beginning of expansion, when everyone in the whole world is playing WoW and you're all doing the same bosses, it feels fucking amazing. There is no better feeling than like being a part of an interconnected world with all your friends.
I think
so good.
I think with that, like stuff like Lost Ark replicated some of that magic. Yeah. I think they did not as great a job at for a lot of different aspects for a lot of different reasons. I know she hates Lost Ark over there. But I don't know if do you like Lost Ark? Yes.
I don't.
Okay.
I had to quit after a few hours because the leveling experience was just not for me.
Okay, fair. I love Lost Ark, but I realize it has a lot of problems, and I play a lot of MMOs. I think that, like, WoW will always hold the soft spot in my heart because I've played WoW the second most of any game I've ever. It's the only reason.
So crazy.
The only reason it's not more is because I had Smurf accounts in League and Scrim accounts that I would play a shitload on.
Uh-huh.
Did I ever tell you how I had Scrim accounts where I just play characters I'd never play?
No, but every pro player did that, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was to the degree that I did. I played like 60 plus games of like TF and Ori on those accounts. Like literally characters I would never play in pro play because I was like, look, like if I grind a character enough, like I think I'll be good at it. And like after 60, I was like, I'm not comfortable bringing it out. But I was I was like pulling like 100 games on certain accounts on characters that I would never see play. And I'm like, damn, did I just waste time?
Yeah. Dude, that is so funny. I think every pro has done that where it's like you know, like for me, I know that like for my entire career I was always afraid to play Draven on stage. I played it one game, I lost, and like I just have never really that champ has never really clicked for me. There's kind of a meme with League players where like you can play Vayne or you can play Draven, but no AD carries can play both. And like I was a Vayne player. So I played like hundreds of Draven games one season. A lot of them were actually on stream, and I thought I got really good. And then I went on stage, played Draven on stage, lost to Sneaky, who like plays Draven pretty frequently. And I was like, fuck this shit. I'm never playing Draven again. Like, I put in hundreds of hours. I actually, not even joking, I watched Tyler 1's VODs to see what he does on Draven. You know, because like I want to study all the Draven players in the world to see all the little tips and tricks.
Okay.
Couldn't make it work. I don't know. I guess I'm too bad. Like, I don't know.
Some characters just don't click.
Yeah,
that's why there's 130 of them, and you only need to play like a couple. You know
exactly. Man, it's so crazy. League, I don't know. I always wonder, will League actually ever die? I think in maybe 5-10 years.
Yeah,
yeah, it'll be gone, right? And when that happens, I want to be a streamer who can like play other games and it not feel like shit. So.
I'm gonna be a streamer attached to Hip by Riot. I'm literally gonna be
you
like
play Riot games only.
Yeah, they're gonna have their MMO out in 5 years, and it's gonna be over.
Oh, dude, everyone's gonna.
It's gonna be
MMO.
Over.
Yeah,
you're literally gonna go for one Riot game. The problem is Riot Games has proven that games as a service works, but no, when other people replicate games as a service where like it's continual updates, but you have to like pay for them or like whatever.
Oh, it's too greedy.
They get shit on, and they suck at it. So like. The proven concept is the multi-billion-dollar game, right? Mm. But people copying it fucking suck at it. So it's like, it's really...
That is interesting.
I feel like they understand that system, and they've proven it across like a card game. They've proven it across Valorant. They've proven it across TFT. They understand how to do that system.
Yeah.
And so whatever game they make, 100% will have like constant updates, will be kept fresh as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they don't suck ass at making their universe, which I think is the way Riot's doing their stuff right now is they do lore in Legends of Runeterra, the card game, the game no one fucking plays.
Yeah.
So their lore is done through there, and their lore is done through Arcane, and like eventually that lore will leak into the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so like whatever happens down there, like I'm sure no one knows unless they watch like the videos for Legend of Runeterra, but like they're slowly building like a backstory to stuff, and I'm like, okay, as long as they don't mess this up, like they've retconned like the lore like 5 times now, but I think now they have like actual writers and like hopefully, fingers crossed, like everything will go well. And I think they're the only company I trust at the moment. Fingers crossed, because I said that about Blizzard 10 years ago.
When I was a kid, I dreamed about working for Blizzard.
Yes.
Like, I played all their games.
BlizzCon was the peak for me. Like, I was like, I have to go to BlizzCon, man. BlizzCon
was faraway dream. I would never be rich enough to afford a BlizzCon ticket. But, like, dude, I literally would, like, worship the ground that Blizzard walked on.
Yes. You know,
like, they everything that they make is gold. It's like From Software right now, where they don't miss.
Yeah.
It's like Riot Games right now. They just don't miss. Mm-hmm. Like, every release is just win after win. Then you hear about all this stuff, and you're like, damn, it's like my childhood just gets this like, black mark on it. You know, it just doesn't feel as good. Those, like, golden days don't feel as good. And I hope that doesn't happen. There have obviously been some, like, whatever, controversies with Riot. Nothing as heinous as, like, the shit that happened with Blizzard, but, like, I truly hope that nothing ever tarnishes Riot that same way.
Yeah. Because
that would fucking suck.
Oh, God. I think... not only their reputation, but their game's reputation. Like, right now, Blizzard sucks at making games. I think they're all in their new survival game, right?
I did see about that.
They have their new, like, their version of Minecraft, whatever, survival game.
Yeah.
If that flops, I can't imagine what happens to the company.
They're fucked,
I think.
Yeah.
Because, like, their Warcraft patch was not good. Their Overwatch 2 Overwatch stuff looks terrible. Like, their Overwatch League stuff looks really bad. They're, like, downscaling, and they're cutting, like, a lot of their casters or a lot of their, like, talent that have been around for a long time. So, like, even though they have this new boss at the top, you know, the boss man, it feels like there's a long way to go.
Have you... Did you notice that a couple months ago, a bunch of people came back to playing League, like Soda Poppin'? There's a bunch of streamers that started playing League.
Because there's nothing else to fucking play.
That, and I wonder how, like, do you think that it's related to Arcane?
Oh, God. As a meme?
Oh. No, I'm not even memeing. Like, Arcane Bat Chest is such a meme, but...
Arcane was brilliant. Like, it was so good. Like, everyone I know ended up watching multiple episodes multiple times. People who don't watch things again watched it again. It was incredible.
Wow. I never watched it again, but... My first watch through and my only watch through. Well, it was pretty amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you look at this, and then someone was like, yeah, but Dota has the anime. I'm just like, okay, I don't want to compare. Don't give me that right now. She's over here, and we're going to take this, you know, this brilliant diamond, and we're not going to look at this, whatever this is. I think Arcane did help. But no, they came back because the season started, and there is no games to play. The last year and a half has been awful for games. There's been, like, a lot of things that come out that people get hyped for, like, a month, or, like, not even a month, a week.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. And the thing is, the appetite for these for multiplayer games is huge. So the first day of all of these games, like, oh my God, the first day of Lost Ark or the first game of New World.
Oh, dude.
Dude, that was the monstrous numbers, you know? Yeah. Like, monstrous numbers. But, like, I think that there's just an appetite for a lot of games. And luckily this year, a lot of the appetite's being filled with, like, Horizon Zero Dawn, with, like, Elden Ring, with, like, Lost Ark. Okay, just the games just keep coming, you know? It's only February. March.
That'd be sick.
March. It's March, right?
It's March. It just turned March, though, so you're good. Yeah. You're not that far off. Have you ever thought about making a game?
Yes.
It's like
always at the
my
top
dream.
Of my bucket. Yes.
It's my dream to make a game.
On the bucket list, I want to be, like, a person who has had some sort of influence in making a great game.
Yes.
If I can be, like, if I'm, like, the very last, like, special thanks in Elden Ring at the very bottom, like, literally so tiny you can't read it without a microscope, I'd be like, I did it, guys.
Like, you fucking designed a tree.
Yeah,
good job,
I fucking did it. I fucking did it. You know, like, yes, I think, I think because you played so much, there's certain things that you would love to see. And when you see, like, when you play or, like, an amazing game, you're like, I wish I was a part of that.
Yeah. And when I play games, like, there's always, like, a critic in the back of my mind and a person who's, like, trying to dissect the parts that I like and I don't like and, like, what I would want if I was to make a game. Like, when I play Path of Exile, for example, there's some parts that I'm like, this is so sick. And there are some where I'm like, this is terrible. Can we please, like, take the good part, leave the shitty part behind, and, like, merge that with parts of WoW that I love and like take away the parts that I hate and like merge that with parts of like New World and Lost Ark that I like. And it would just, I hope Riot Games MMO is what I want, is like what hits the spot for me.
Oh God, we're putting too much pressure on this.
Sorry.
Same. Like I play Lost Ark and I like literally just went off one day. So I was like, okay, like this is why, like this is how this game does it. Like I started talking about the difference between like horizontal and vertical progression MMOs.
Yeah.
And like how like a lot of times most MMOs don't mix those. Mm. Like if you want to be like a person who's into transmogs, or if you want to be a person who's into pet battles, and it's different than if you want to be like a raider or a PvPer.
Yeah.
But in Lost Ark, they're all interconnected.
Oh.
So like what happens is like for the most part, PvP aside, like for the raiding, like you have to like mine to get like world trees to like do whatever here. Mm-hmm. Or you have to be like, you can get Makoko seeds to like get this over here. And a lot of people were like, well, like the FOMO in that game happens because you can't just focus on one thing like you could in a lot of MMOs. You feel like you're missing out because like the horizontal affects the vertical.
Oh, wow.
As a game design choice. Some people love it because it means that your grind will always have value. Like all the suit. But like other people like games like Final Fantasy where they really respect your time. You go in, you raid for 7 weeks, you get your loot, and you're out. You know? Yeah. And that's a game where like, honestly, I know QD doesn't like that game because he's like, they want you to uninstall the game for periods of time to not play, like straight up.
That's hilarious.
And then like WoW has their own fucking system where they keep replacing it every, like your gears are relevant in every patch, you know.
It's a treadmill.
Yeah, like they have like they have the worst like treadmill ever. Like they have the worst theme park ever, and there's so many fucking problems. But like still, it's sometimes a little magical when the lights are on, and you're like, oh my god, I love this ride. You know, I remember this ride. I love it. Like, it goes just as fast as I remember. You know. But like then the lights go off and you're like, oh my god, that kind of sucked.
That was horrific.
But I think that like I see a lot of that. When people ask me about that, I'm like, yeah, dude, I wish it was done without these. Like I wish like Lost Ark like has a lot of quality of life stuff that I'm like, get this shit out of my face. Just like POE has a lot of stuff where it's like, why do I click on every fucking thing? They combine it like, yeah, they could have done this fucking years ago,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Or like, why can't you see death recaps in the game? You know, it's not a big deal, but like...
It is crazy. It is crazy.
It's like, there are some things where you're like, okay, like, can I get a pet to pick up basic currency? Like, please? Like, I just don't want to click like as much, you know? Like,
yeah.
But like, you can't get that. And whether that's a design choice by whatever or whoever, like, you're just like, who was in the decision for this? Were they right?
I mean, every game I have like some criticisms of, and I would just love one day to make a game that's perfect for my taste. And I think my taste could be shared by a lot of people because we all kind of, you know, people grow up and like they played the same games as we did and like they had the same experiences. Everyone played League at some point.
Okay. With that being said, you have so much experience in League. Mm-hmm. Could you go on the League balance team? They listen to everything you said for 1 week. The patch notes. Could you make it amazing?
No. I think actually one of the best quotes I've heard about game design is like, the community's great at diagnosing problems and they're terrible at making solutions.
Yes.
And like I fully believe that. It's like, yeah, I think that this is like, for example, really obnoxious and unfun to play against. I have no idea how you could make that into something better. Like I think people who do believe that, it's a bit of like the Dunning-Kruger effect where like they don't know how much they don't know.
Yes.
And so they think that like, you know, they're like half-shaped an idea. They're like not very well thought out idea. Cause it's like better than like what a game designer who's been in the industry for like 15 years and is like 70 steps ahead of that thought that you just had, you could do it better than him. It's like,
but no. on the reverse end, you see games like WoW who kind of like do the same problems over and over again. And you're just like, maybe I could be better a little bit.
Yeah. With WoW, like, because I've been like a higher level player. This is sounding like a weird flex, but like, you know, like I was a Mythic Raider for many years. Like I'm usually like top 0.01% in PvP. I think I could do a better job than them because I truly believe that a lot of the people who developed that game just straight up don't play the game. But with Riot, it's like funny as fuck. You go to the office and like people are just cranking League games in the middle of their workday. It's like normally like get some lunch, go like crack out a couple games of League, and it's like very encouraged. Which I love, because how can you do your job of working on a game if you don't play it?
I play a lot of TFT, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of TFT, like riders who are like top 50, Like that's sick. And I'm just like, that's I see sick. Them, and I'm like, ask my chat that's about awesome. Them. And another challenger player is like, oh no, that guy's really fucking good. Like,
yeah.
Like, actually, I'm like, oh shit, really? Like, it's crazy. Like, some of the game developers and like the designers are like top 100, top 50 in TFT.
That's awesome. Like, you love to see it. Yeah. Like, I think that's gonna become a trend that's so common with games now is like, you know, people in the company are gonna be fucking insane at your game.
Mm-hmm. But when you go wide sometimes, like Valorant, for instance, there are people who were really good at Valorant in the company, but like FPS skill just goes so high. Like if you're good at FPSs, you are a god.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
No, 100%. It's actually funny. Like remember in Valorant's beginning, they did a show match between like devs versus streamers? Mm-hmm. And the devs shit on them. Shit on the streamers.
Yeah.
Understandably. And it was like, whoa, the devs are actually cracked. And like, I was like curious, you know, where are the devs at now? And like I doubt that they're
most of them are immortal.
Yeah, yeah. It's like back then they were the equivalent of like, you know, probably top 50 players.
Yes.
Radiant easily. Yeah. And then people just got so hard to keep up with the zoomers. Like it's just so hard to keep up with the zoomers. Dude,
even okay, I don't play League as much anymore. But when I play League, I'm like, man, I'm not very good anymore. Like I play League and I'm like, okay, like I'm definitely like not a challenger player, like even close. Like if I had to even try to get back to that, I'd have to grind like a fucking month straight to even attempt it. So I'm like, yeah, I'm like whatever. I'm like a masters player, maybe like fucking like maybe like top diamond. I'm like, damn, people got a lot better. Like
they did.
Some of the top people, I'm like, damn, they really like this lead player is fucking plat. There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
Is this a smurf? This guy.
Yeah, people got insane at League too. 100%. When I come back after League, I don't know if you feel this too, because you've taken way huger breaks than I've ever taken. But when I come back, I get the feeling of like, I know what I should do, but my hands just can't do it.
Yes.
Like I physically cannot do it until I grind.
Yeah, I need, yeah. Well, like for me, I'm that to a large extent. I feel like I need to grind a ton of games to be good at anything. Like, so like whenever like an average person needs to put in, I put in like 50% more to be like good. Like I need to put in like a shitload of games. And so like I come back, I'm just dog shit. It is so bad. Like it is terrible. And then like I need like 20 games of a character to be like, okay, you know, I'm okay again. Unless the character is mechanically just like a joke. Like I'm playing Nunu and I just fucking run around or something.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's like, okay, I'm playing like Qiyana. Give me, I need so many.
Oh, dude, games. You need like 100 games.
Yeah, that game is, that champ is actually incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Oh my 100%. God. Oh my God. But like, yeah, it takes a long time.
Yeah. Dude, I think that's what's so nice about League. It's like, eventually you're going to hit a wall. And it's like, I can't, maybe I, you know, I've gotten as good as I'm going to get probably at Lee Sin. But there's 30 other junglers available for you to get to that point. And like once you get good enough at them, you're probably going to climb rank because you can then pick from a wider Swiss Army knife toolkit of like different champions for different situations.
And you probably understand your original champion better.
Yes, exactly. Then your overall knowledge of the game and every time that a patch comes out, your overall knowledge of the game actually diminishes because the game has changed. So, you know, there's variables that you can't account for anymore in the patch notes. Like League is so fucking hard to be good at, which is why I think it's like one of the coolest esports to watch, because getting good, I don't know, it's just such a nice game.
Usually the game like stacks on top of itself. So like I saw the meta like currently, like I saw a lot of like Victor Corki, like whatever. I don't know if it's still the meta. I just watched.
Yeah, that's a 7-year-old meta.
Okay, so like way back when, like a long time ago, it used to be like when I look at that, I'm like, okay, well like. Victor used to be countered by like long range poke, and he used to actually like Veigar used to actually do really well in that matchup or something, whatever. And I was always like, well, like based on whatever I knew like this many years ago, I wonder if the matchup spacing wise is still similar, you know?
Yeah.
And like you build knowledge up and up and up, and you're like, okay, well this matchup is good, but the meta falls out. So you're like, okay, the Twitch versus Jinx matchup is one sided.
Yeah.
But like that matchup doesn't exist for like 6 months, and then when the meta come back, you're like, I fucking already know this character shits on this other character.
Yes.
And so like you kind of build your stuff over time, but the thing is, if you fall off or you don't play for a bit, then like it's so bad. So like you have to like constantly be playing to like accrue the knowledge to improve. I feel
it's really hard. That is a good point.
So like in TFT, it's in that way, in a microcosm. Like at the very start of TFT, there's like 7 comps that are good. And then obviously, patched wise, 5 of them turn not so good. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the set, those five will have at some point be meta again. And you have to, if you played the first patch, you'll know how to play better on every patch up until the end.
Oh, I see.
But you might not be good at the second patch or the third patch. But because you played the first one, when that comes back, you're like, oh, I know this comp is good. I know how to get to this comp, and I know like what it's good against. And so like, it's like a very like three month thing, whereas League is a very like year, like 6 month, like year thing.
Or like multi-year thing.
Yeah, so you can literally stack it, you know? Even when I come back, I'm like, oh, this, he picked this character. Like, I know this character used to be good into that character, like, 4 years ago.
It's actually fucking funny that you bring up Veigar as a counter, because like Veigar came up as a counter to Corki, because Corki's like kind of like that mid-range poke type champion, and Veigar can just, I guess, freely scale and like farm and play well against it. And like it pretty much was just shitting on Corki like
for, really?
Throughout the world. Yeah, like Veigar became like a really power pick. Like if you know how to play it, you had a huge advantage. And it's like funny because like your knowledge from literally like 8-9 years ago is still applicable today. And like some pro players would take them a while to convince because they didn't play in your era. Yeah. They would never have any idea. So it's like, what the fuck, Veigar? Isn't that a troll pick? Like, how could that be good against Corki or Victor?
Do you remember Diana was the counter pick to Victor a long time ago?
Yes, I actually do remember that. That's so funny.
The problem with it is as soon as the runes changed, Victor did too much damage, so yeah, Diana couldn't win.
Yeah.
Unless you get jungle help. So it's probably still a good matchup. You just need your jungle to camp the shit out of the lane.
Dude, Diana's so different now, too.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's so funny because, like, I don't know, man. Like, have you ever looked at, like, old League clips? That shit, the game was so ugly.
Yes.
It's so ugly compared to how it is now. And then people will, like, romanticize, like, oh, I miss old League, man. New League just fucking sucks. It's so imbalanced. But old League, and I'm like, dude, Look at this ugly ass Deathfire grass item that just one shots you, no skill. Like, this game is terrible.
I played Gragas in season 3. Like, that character, I two shot the entire team.
Yeah,
like,
I remember. You always played Gragas mid and fucking AP Sion, and it was just like the most brain dead thing I've ever seen. Like,
you like try to outskill it. Like, how can I get around this? Like, incredibly annoying. No, you can't. And you just get one shot.
It's like,
all right.
Yeah, it just. Man, old League. I know that there was like that controversy where it's almost like the what is it called? The Classic WoW server, Nostalris or whatever, where they tried to recreate Classic WoW. They tried to recreate Classic Season 2 League on a private server, and then Riot had to shut it down
because
it's
that?
An IP. It's an infringement on their
on their
property, intellectual property.
Pissed.
Yeah, they're like, what the fuck? And it's like, dude, I'm pretty sure this shit is all for legal reasons. Like, if anyone can just take League and make a product out of it without Riot's consent, then it's like,
yeah, that'd only be probably, Tencent.
Yeah, it's completely fucked, right? Like, understandable that the project has to go. But then I'm just thinking, like, yeah, I'd play it a day for content to make YouTube videos and stream it.
Yeah.
No shot I'm playing that shit every day. Like, I'm gonna go crazy.
Do you remember when Classic WoW came out and people were like, Classic WoW is the fucking best?
Yeah, it's so good. Oh my god, it was so hard back then.
You see people play and you're like, wow, it was kind of bad. Like, farming individual soul shards is not really that fun. Like,
no, yeah. Like, mages being able to pull 40 mobs and every other class having to kill them one by one seems pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like that got really romanticized, and like the things that people really cared about were like the journey together to get like 60 your first mount, and like the community aspect, which it does still have, but like a lot of old WoW sucked ass. Like, when people always ask me, they're like, what, do you want to play? I'm like, I want to play new games. Like, I want to play new experiences, new games. So like, that's what I crave right now.
I think people get really nostalgic when there's no good new experiences, and then you start thinking about like, man, remember when like, you know, fucking Classic WoW first came out, and or when New World launched.
Remember when we first saw Arcane? Man, we should go
Classic Arcane.
when season 2 comes out, I don't care what happens. I swear, even if it's the greatest season ever, people are gonna be like, man, I like season 1 more.
Damn, really? You think so?
I miss old Arcane.
Damn, actually, it's gonna be really hard for them to one up that. Like,
yes, they're gonna be like, I miss old Arcane. I really miss. They really fell off, and it's still like a fucking like 10 out of 10 masterpiece. But like, it's maybe a little tiny bit worse just because there's expectations now.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I didn't even think about that.
Or they'll throw more money at it and they'll do double.
Ooh. Oh. How could it be that much better than first season of Arcane? I think, you know, there's obviously a good chunk of people who didn't like it.
They introduce a new region. It's fucking Azir. It's Shurima. That's fucking,
that would be sick.
I love the idea of Shurima. like Egyptian, like, whatchamacallit, culture inside, like the Runeterra universe.
That would be sick. Some sort of, like, adventure, like, fucking, what is that? What is that? Indiana Jones, like an adventure style season where that, you're like following characters around, like
that would
exploring
be cool.
Shurima.
Yes, that would be. That they're would exploring be like ancient ruins. Like, oh, this was Renekton and like Azir. They fought here. You're like, oh my god,
that would be nuts, dude. They could do so much. I think just opening that door is just like, man, they could do one about Ionia.
They started at such a great spot. They started at a steampunk hextech world where the gates can go anywhere.
Yeah,
and then you're just like, okay, well who's coming? Renata.
Renata, yeah. I mean, but she's like modern league. Like, yeah, this is supposed to be true. Like a biopic back.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. All right. Before we get too far back into the league talk, we have some viewer questions to answer. I think this podcast ended up going all over the place, but you know, like we did say we'd answer some viewers. I love it, actually. Brother, what do we got? Oh, what do I got? Okay.
Why did we flip this over? Just to prove a point? Just to make a statement that we didn't need it?
Who did it first?
Yeah.
I noticed one of you flipped it, and then the other person matched it, but I didn't catch who did it first.
I don't know.
I think he flipped it first.
Oh, see? He's humble.
Yeah. I mean, I just follow your lead. You're the leader, man.
No ego double.
You're the host. Look at that. I had no ego. Honestly, people are going to watch this and think I'm like the most ego person ever. I feel if I came off as cocky, guys, it was just a joke.
No, I don't think people are going to think that. I think, I don't know. I feel like it's really hard to talk candidly about a lot of things. I think that I don't get these kind of conversations even off camera sometimes because it's like, But I wouldn't have talked about a lot of things 5 years ago or even 8 years ago. Right?
That's true.
But like nowadays, it's like, okay, what's the worst that could happen? Coach Chris comes back and like stabs us. Finds my address.
It's so long ago, man.
It's like stuff that where it's like you talk about it. It's like a funny story.
Like, would we ever talk about Amaranth's jarred farts on another show? I don't think so.
8 years from now, we're gonna talk about that. We can go again, man.
I'll show you my collection.
We're like, okay, so I collected 10 premium ones.
These are vintage right here. You want a little sniff?
She'll have owned Google by then. Like, she literally went all the Google stock because she
got a majority share.
So much money by
Holy
that
shit, dude. Please. Okay. Give me a piece.
PM Me Cool Guitars. Did you make this name up?
No, these are from the
This is
Reddit
not a
thread.
Fake plan.
No.
Okay. What is the biggest what if in your gaming or streaming career?
I mean, the biggest one that comes to mind is just like, what if we had won Worlds, you know? Like, that. What if I had won Worlds on TSM or Team Liquid? And yeah, I mean, I have a lot of regrets, obviously. You know, there's some traumatic incidents, but at the end of the day, I think it was possible. It was possible on both teams, TSM and Team Liquid. We were like so close to just making it out of groups on both. I was really close on both teams, but I truly believe like if that opportunity had gone differently, I think like there is a season where me and Core were so fucking good. Season 9, we were so good. There was like, it just felt like, or sorry, it was actually season 8. I'm trolling, but sorry, it was season 9. I'm stumbling over my words now. I have boomer ass memory. It was season 9. God, I have so many regrets because. That's a big what if. Like, I think if North America wins Worlds, not only is my career really different, but I feel like our regional pride is like so different. And like, Americans have a lot of American pride. So if we win Worlds, I think League is a lot more popular.
Yes, I agree. I think one of the only ways to increase, like, League in NA has died every year, mm-hmm. Statistically, from my note, but it's grown in every other country.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ask me, what will make League more popular? We just want to win Worlds.
Yeah. For sure.
That's it.
That's it.
I'm not even kidding. If we won Worlds once, boom, we got it.
It's that simple, boys. Yeah.
My what if is really interesting. Okay, a lot of people ask, like, what if you continue your professional career? And, like, I don't even know. Like, one of the things, I'm going to sidetrack this a little bit because it's about you. What I remember hearing something about you, and I don't know if it was true or not, but I remember a comment being told that I always quit stuff that I start. I don't know if it was you or not, but
it wasn't me.
I think the comment was really apt because it was like, I was a player. I ended up quitting. I ended up being a coach. I quit after one season. Interviewer ended up quitting. And I think that, like, quitting is maybe a harsh word for it. It's like I decided, like, I didn't like it. I fucking thought it sucked. Like, after, like, one stint at it, I was like, I'd prefer to do something else or anything else, you know? I think of this what if question, like, a lot of people would be like, so, like, what if you continue your professional career? Honestly, I think it was probably a good time for me to exit at that point because unless I had the support, that was the time where I really understood why having a support structure was important outside of your team. Because that was the one, like, the season I quit was the season where it was like, okay, I got shit talked by everyone. I got shit talked by, like, European players, fucking Asian players. I got shit talked by, like, essentially my team was shit talking me to, like, other players, essentially.
That's a fucking blower.
And I'm just like, because I didn't have the my support network was just, like, my team. So, like, obviously, like, I can't have that. And I think that, like, regardless, anything that would have happened, that wouldn't have been good. Because I didn't have the ability to pull myself out from that position. So, like, I don't ever think about that as, like, a what if, because I'm just like, man. I think nowadays, the thing is, I think I couldn't compete nowadays unless I started all the way back then and had, like, found a good support structure from then. And even then, I still wouldn't be great. But, like, some of the like, support players get nowadays, I'm so jealous of. I'm like, what is it like? Like, what is that like?
Yeah, getting a team chef, a team chiropractor, four coaches, a positional coach, and, like...
Like, what is it like? Like, you could talk to people about your games? Like, I was, like, in the shower thinking about, like, picks for my team sometimes.
Yeah. I think being, like, a fully independent, like, I guess, like... free thinking, independently thinking person about the game is an attribute of, like, the older generation, you know, because you just had to be back then.
Or you just,
even though the mechanical ability required back then was a lot lower than it is now, you know, but that is, like, the one thing
about League that I always liked is that you never really needed super mechanics to be amazing. It helped a lot. Okay. With the minus of, I think the AD role always needed good mechanics, just straight up. You could kind of cheese it somewhat, but for the most part, I feel like, especially in North America, you never need mechanics. You could cheese or, like, work around it in a way where your brain mattered more than your mechanics. Like, almost always. Yeah. Maybe nowadays, not the case. But, like, I always thought League was a great game in the sense that that was the case.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think the question of, like, if you had kept going, I think, like, you should be so glad to be where you are now. Like, the turn of events that ended up... And I always think that way. Like, every pro player who stops being a pro player is so fucking jealous of you. I'm like, because of the stability, because of the longevity that you have. And it's like, after you're done being a pro, 95% of pro players, they got nothing. What are they going to do? They're going to fucking be a coach? Like, they're not going to stream. They didn't build up a streaming following or even give a shit about streaming when they're playing.
They're all in crypto and NFTs now.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Unironically.
We're selling JPEGs, boys.
Oh, God. No, but I am very grateful. I never look back on it with regret. It's like, okay, like, I played that era. I did, like, pretty well, like, reasonably well. It's sad that I still have that one title I always say just for fun. I'm one of the only eight native mid laners for NA to ever go to the Worlds.
Wow, that's hilarious.
It's like such a bad stat.
That's actually a crazy stat. You're one of eight American mid laners? Yes. Are you serious?
I think so.
There has been 12 seasons of Worlds. That's fucking insane.
That, I know. Whenever I think about that stat, I'm like, even if it's wrong by a little bit.
Yeah, even if it's 16 instead of 8 at this point, like, it doesn't even fucking matter. That's insane.
Yeah, that's completely
wild.
Yeah, so, like, people... especially mid laners that have, like, tried to make it on the pro teams, I feel bad for. Like, actually. All right, question number two. Ruben Salt. What TV anime is your all-time favorite? TV show? Oh, God. Don't say Arcane.
Arcane, that chest.
I don't have overall favorites for stuff. I will say I have, like, recent favorites because I have shitty memory, honestly. Anime, if we're not talking about Demon Slayer Season 2, which I think was animated very gorgeously, the last anime I thought was my favorite anime of the season and of the year was Ping Pong the Animation.
Oh, that's a good choice.
It was so good. I was like, oh my God.
It's timeless.
It's so good. I was shocked by how much I loved it.
Did you watch it recently?
No, I watched it, I think, in 2007 when it came out. And, like, even from that point to now, I was like, holy fuck, it was amazing. I loved it.
That is sick. It's good. I actually need to finish it. I keep forgetting to finish that show. Like,
I think nowadays, like, my attention span is so bad. Like, I can't watch, like, full shows unless someone's with me and, like, they're dragging me, like, to watch it with them. Like,
I'm the same way. Yeah. I don't really watch shows unless Lena, like, wants to watch. And then it's fun. But if I'm watching by myself, it's like, dude, I'm going to just do something else.
Yeah.
My favorite show is probably also an anime. Yeah, it's Samurai Champloo.
Oh.
I really liked it.
Timeless. I rewatched, like, episode one a year ago. And I was like, oh, it still holds up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just good. I was kind of almost my introduction to anime, and at that point I became like a slight weeb where I was just like consuming all anime content. I was like on my anime list, making reviews, like rating stuff, and then I was like I'm part of a community. I was like a little super like, oh my god, this is so exciting. But it was just good. Honestly though, it's kind of like what you said. I don't really watch that much shows. I don't watch that much movies or shows. I prefer to stream. Like, I just like to stream.
Oh, God, we're losers.
I know. It's kind of crazy how addicted we are.
Oh, God.
Streaming is just... It's almost social.
Yes. That's a great... It's like you're talking to someone that's your friend, kind of. Or like people who you, like, are with. Yeah. And the thing is, you know when they always talk about parasocial relationships for streamers?
It goes the other way. Yes. Yes. So,
sometimes it goes both ways.
Yes.
I'll put it this way. Like, one of my long time subs stopped resubbing. And I know this. Oh, my
God. You're hurt.
And I was like, man, does my content suck now? Like, does he just not like me after?
He could just be going through, like, a cleansing of all unnecessary subscriptions, tightening up the finances. That's it.
I'm unnecessary?
I mean, bro, come on. Oh, your content's free.
Oh, my God.
Download Adblock.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I don't know, honestly. I think sometimes, like, streaming gets me through stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I use it as a distraction, but also, like, it fills the time and it does in a way that I enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. I like the concept of grinding until I'm good. And, like, I don't think that I have a natural aptitude for streaming. It's just something that I've done on and off for, like, 10 years. And, like, now that I'm streaming and it's serious, right? Like, it's like my main career.
Yeah.
I want to take it seriously where, like, every day I can look back and be like, yep, I'm better at streaming than I was last time. You know, my stream was more enjoyable.
Are you taking improv?
No.
You're not serious enough.
Dude, bro, that's cringe. I'm not taking improv.
No, I'm not even kidding. Like,
I'm not taking improv.
If you take improv, it will help you. As someone who has only taken, like, one lesson ever, pretty much. It's something where it's like, you'd be surprised.
Wait, why do you think it's cringe?
Dude, honestly, it's just, I've been to improv shows before, and are they called improv? Yeah, I've been to improv shows, and it's just, I just am not into it. Like, it's just, dude, do you really think that XQC takes improv? Like, let's be honest here. The guy's streaming 30 hours a day.
I'm just saying, like, you know, sometimes, like, it's exploring options.
So that's, like, true. That's true.
So, like, I see someone, like, the most naturally funny people I met. Like, Cutie is, like, super, like, hilarious, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how did he get here? And, like, just knowing his past is so funny. Like, he and Paul Belcher were, like, on 4chan, like, nonstop. Like, literally, like, his parents, like, fucking fed him, like burnt chicken every day. Like, he literally grew up like an animal with like
burnt
basic
chicken, like
basic instincts. And, like, he had to find out how to make humor out of everything kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah. That is funny. It seems like a lot of the funniest people are, like, people with, like, troubled upbringings, because you kind of have to find a way to cope, right?
Yes.
And, like, one of the easiest ways to cope is just make a joke out of everything.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, that's a good way to cope. I gotta say, like,
the dark humor is always the best. And you ask, like, how'd you get this funny? And it's like, oh. Like,
yeah. Like, we don't want to talk about that. Yeah. But.
Like, Lily's fucking funny. I think if you...
No, Lily's actually hilarious.
Yeah, and she's, like, great at improv. Like, if you want to be friends with her, I also find that you can't be... like, really good friends unless you're, like, somewhat funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it's, like, a necessary criteria, actually. But, like, dang, some of what she went through, I'm just like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, okay, I understand. Because you had to cope. Or, like, you had to go through it somehow, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, the fucking, you know, diamonds just... Or there's, like, the saying about diamonds forged in, like, fucking high pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. That's crazy. I didn't know that cutie pie was fueled by burnt chicken. Maybe that shit just changes your brain chemistry.
No, it's like an explanation for a lot. Like he, I think honestly he just got funny like in a weird
cuties,
way.
Cutie's hilarious.
He's so like, even I watch his stream now.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just like, this guy's so funny. People,
he is so
and
funny.
Like he's pulling like still good viewership playing Lost Ark grinding 10 hours a day.
That's
it's
insane.
So funny. Because,
that's completely insane.
Yeah, he is like. Like a lot of people are like, oh, he fell off. It's like, yeah, he played League again like this season mm-hmm. and ended up or
he crushed it.
Yeah, he ended up with like 9K views, like back to like he
was like top 100 challenger easy. Like
yeah.
It was like fucking it was crazy
and
to see his come
he
up.
He knows that he can maintain that viewership.
Yeah.
But
he doesn't care.
Yeah.
I respect that a lot. I think I'm still in between that phase of like I don't care about viewers nearly as much as like some people who are like completely obsessed, but I definitely care about it enough where like I'm not willing to
let it go.
Yeah, I'm not willing to let go of like what I believe is like a normal amount of viewers.
I'll put it this way. Even a lot of my friend group does it differently, right? OTU friends have like a shitload of people who stream everything they do, which is me.
Yeah.
And like my viewership is like, I would say, in the dumps for a lot of it. And then there's people like Sykuno who only streams like his main stuff.
Yes.
But he plays a shitload of games off stream. Like he... Mm. It's actually hilarious. Like he hit max level in
me too.
He hit max level in Final Fantasy. He hit max level in Lost Ark, and you would never know unless you're following his character profile armory. And he like and you're like, what the fuck? He played like 6 hours there, like
that's
4 hours.
So funny.
There, you know, like so he just streams like just his stuff. You know,
yeah.
I think that it's like it depends on what you want to do. A lot of people even have different accounts, right? Like Soda Poppy has his other Smurf account where he just streams random games. Same
yeah,
with
I think I'm gonna do that at some point because. And part of that parasocial relationship that you're talking about that goes both ways is I feel like from my side, I need to meet my viewers' expectations. It's kind of like when I'm playing pro. It's like there's a certain level of proficiency that my teammates expect out of me, that my fans expect out of me. Like if I'm playing great versus if I'm playing like shit, I'm disappointing them. I'm not meeting their expectations. That feels really bad. It feels the same way when you're streaming. Like in a lot of ways, streaming is similar to competitive because... You know, there's like a certain level of like entertainment
and like skill that you.
Yeah, entertainment and skill kind of combined in one, and like you're kind of just creating this product that you need to meet your fans' expectations. They click on your stream, they don't expect you to suck balls at a game and like just be muted, right? Like that feels like they're never gonna come back. They're gonna go somewhere else.
You know, I set the expectation for Valorant that was shit. I didn't upload a single good clip of me in any since Valorant came out. I've never in my life uploaded a good clip.
I only upload like the funny ass ones
when I'm just terrible.
Yeah,
my montage is literally just like
clips.
A fail. Yeah, it's so funny though.
But like people, you've created a good expectation.
It's so funny because when they come in and I kill one person, like oh my god,
yeah.
This guy's so fucking good. It's fucking like I don't know, like tens or something.
And this goes back to like when I say that League is super difficult for like streamers to get in and out of. It's like when you're a pro League player, people expect two things out of you. They expect you to play League every single stream, no matter what.
And
they expect
good.
You to be really good at everything that you do because you're a pro player. If you're a pro player at anything, you must be good at, like, everything. Fucking Shroud, man. You have to be Shroud at, like, your genre. And, like, yeah, I think people will find that, like, for some strange reason, League in particular has, like, some of the most toxic Twitch chats ever to exist.
Yeah.
And... Like I got used to it, but like it's still crazy to me how different it is when you look at like League Twitch chats versus like GTARP Twitch chats. It's like who are these people? Like why are they being so positive? Like who the fuck? Like I want to meet you and shake your hand, bro. Like you typing this in someone's Twitch chat, you're like a goddamn living saint.
Oh, okay. Everyone has a different type. I think it's really interesting. Yeah. Okay, we've ran really long.
Oh, sorry.
No. I like long podcasts personally, but if there's one last thing you gotta give. To your fans out there, you want to leave them a message. You know, you've been in the scene for 10 plus years alongside me, actually, just in like kind of different spaces now, but still kind of the same space now.
Mm-hmm.
What would I say
to them?
Yeah,
I think the same thing that I always say. You know, I'm really, really grateful to my fans. I would definitely not be anywhere close to where I am without them. Like, I streamed to 30 people on Own3D. Like 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and I grinded and I kind of made it, you know, like I became like a Twitch streamer. I became a pro player. It became a huge part of my life. I feel super grateful to my fans. You know, without fans, I don't think I'm probably working at McDonald's, to be honest. I'm taking your fry order.
Oh God, me too, man. I think I'm fucking at McDonald's as well. I was failing my classes playing League. Literally.
That is hilarious.
I skipped my final, failed my class to go to a tournament, came back, and I begged the teacher to retake it. And then I skipped it again to play another League thing.
Dude.
And I didn't have the balls to ask her for a third time. I was like, I'll just take the F in the class. Yeah. I am so sorry. It lucked out into me playing League and getting into like the culture, essentially. So like I would be literally next to you, McDonald. I'd be like, here's your burger, and you're the fries, you know?
Thank you. We'd make a great team.
But yeah, I think that's it. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. As a reminder, where we donate all proceeds from the podcast to what's happening in Ukraine right now.
Oh, dude. Great cause.
Yeah. We thought it would be... It's pretty last minute, but it was just something we decided as like OTV as a whole, you know? And you're cool with that, right?
Of course. Are you kidding me?
That was a test.
I almost said no as a joke, but I'm like, this is going to be too fucked up. This is going to be too offensive. But no, that's actually crazy. We're talking about like video games and shit and just like reminiscing. And there's like literally a war happening right now. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's something where it's like, I personally am, it's hard for me to speak out on social media without repeating the same thing that everyone else says.
Exactly. I feel like I'm just beating a dead horse. Yeah, like war bad.
I think for me, it's like, I like to just keep like a stream where it's like, hey, you know, like you come in, you chill, you vibe.
Good vibes.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Good vibes.
So, but like this is an easy way to help, I think.
Nice. I'm glad I can contribute something good.
I just realized you're wearing a Killua shirt. You are fucking weeb. I swear to God.
Lena got this for me. I don't even watch her next time.
And that's it, folks.
That's it.